Mark, we're still here with you, and I want to talk a little bit more about what you think the government might do, what policy options could be to make sure that votes were counted sooner. And one of the things that's come up, or that's coming up in our series on voting, is just this whole idea of the uniformity or lack thereof of ballots. I mean, there's, you know, when there were controversies, we saw that there were hanging chads, there were punch card ballots, there's ballots with levers, there's people literally putting things on paper. You know, it's like everything but spray paint seems to be happening in some part of the country. And so how could, do you think it would be a good idea to make things more uniform? Because Susan was just telling us about all the different ways that overseas voters have to deal with things.
It's a brilliant idea, and it's really fundamentally a civil rights issue, and always has been ever since the 1965 Voting Rights Act, which stepped in to try and say that there at least had to be some guidelines, federal guidelines, the states had to meet in order to make sure that they weren't disenfranchising large portions of their citizenry. At the same time, there's been some creep, and the idea that rules vary so wildly across counties, across states, means that people really have to be very proactive and knowledgeable about how to get in, how to vote, and how to make sure their vote gets counted. And it does matter. We can look at data and see that in different localities, different amount, your likelihood that your vote is going to be valid and counted varies wildly given what kind of machine they have, the kind of whether or not they have sufficient ballots at polling places. All of those things are not standardized and are left to very small local officials and offices. We've seen the recent controversies in Ohio and Michigan about new voters, and then in Michigan about people who'd been foreclosed on. And those are really broad and difficult interpretations of rules that affect a lot of voters.
Well, of course, voters overseas aren't the only ones who might be forced to vote away from home. There's people who had to leave their homes following Hurricane Ike. We actually spoke to Tina Leverett. She's an elections administrator in Orange County, Texas, and here's what she told us about the changes being made there.
If they're a registered voter in Orange County and they're misplaced somewhere living outside the county, they can call into our office and we can send them an application to vote by mail, and they can send that back. And when we receive it back, we will send them a ballot. For early voting, we had to change one of our early voting election sites because literally almost all the houses in Bridge City were flooded out. And for election day, we've had to combine six of our election day boxes because they were flooded out.
Mark, in a second, we're going to talk with someone who actually has had to relocate. But just briefly, what do you think of the plans that Ms. Leverett outlined?
Well, it sounds like they're doing the best they can. The problem is you have people who are displaced. They're dealing with the sort of exigencies of daily life, trying to put their lives back together. And it's tough for them to figure out a way. A lot of them, people don't know where they are. And so it's tough for them to get that information, and voting may not be their top priority at the moment. And no one's making it easy for them, as you heard. You know, voting places are being moved around. There's all these things. So people really are going to have to, who are in those kinds of situations, are going to have to take positive steps. And that's the general thing in America, is that people have to take really positive and active steps to be able to vote.
All right. We've got someone with us who has been through the displacement. Robin Bouchong is a resident of Galveston, Texas, and she was forced to leave her home following the hurricane. How are you doing, Robin?
I'm surviving.
Yeah, I can
We're
only
surviving.
Imagine. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I'm sure you have a lot of other things on your mind and things to do. So how important in the whole list of things that you have to deal with is making sure that you vote in this election?
Well, personally, voting is very important. But I must tell you that probably for a lot of people in Galveston, we, as you may know, 75% of the homes, apartments in this on this island were flooded, and many, many are uninhabitable. So many of us, we personally, my husband and myself and dogs and cats, have moved now three times in 35 days,
wow.
Hotel in Houston and hotel in Galveston, and now we are in fortunately, in a condominium of friends of ours while our home was rebuilt. So we're sort of looking at some sense of normalcy, but we have so many people on this island who are still in Red Cross shelters, who don't have a place to live, that are having to move off the island. So, you know, for us personally, yes, we will vote. But a lot of people, at least in this island of 57,000 people, I'm feel confident it's not a priority. They may not have registered. And to say that you have to register, you know, things are sent to you by mail. We personally right now have to drive 30 miles round trip just to get mail.
Right. Does it make you sad that there are not more? I mean, do you feel that the response is adequate? When you talk about driving that far just to get your mail, do you think that there should be other means of outreach to people from Galveston who are displaced, or is this just the way it has to be?
Well, having personally never gone through this before, thankfully we've had, you know, times that we've had to evacuate during Hurricane Alicia in 83. That was a Cat 3 storm, which wasn't 1/100th of what we, in my opinion, of what we've endured with this. They have now compared Ike with the 100-year storm, which, as you know, happened in Galveston on September 8th of 1900. So, you know, to say could FEMA or could the government be doing more, we're a resilient group. We try to get out and, you know, look after ourselves and be responsible. Obviously, with the severe housing shortage, again, and people displaced, some of the teachers, for example, now that the schools have reopened, I believe it was on the 7th of October, are living maybe 2 hours away and having to commute.
Okay. I want to bring Mark in because just to give us a little bit more perspective. I mean, when you're hearing Robin talk about what she has to deal with and what folks have to deal with, what do you think could be done to make things simpler for voters at this critical time?
Well, I mean, one thing would be to have national rules. Another thing might be to decouple certain kinds of local elections from the national elections, such that people would be available to vote in national elections and could vote from, you know, generally someplace in the state. She hasn't left the state, so therefore she wouldn't affect the sort of Texas electoral ballot. But other things could just be done in terms of, you know, making sure that we know where people are. Maybe you might have a sort of national voter ID or a national voter registration roll that people would be on and enrolled in. So that way we could track them. We would know where they are. And even if she had to vote in some other locality, they could make sure that her ballot ended up where it needed to be.
Well, for one thing, most people, you know, and again, I'm just speaking specifically about Galveston, we have no landlines. The storm hit September 13th, and 90% of the island still has no landlines.
Right.
So if you don't have a cell phone, you can't communicate. We have very, very limited internet access. If you don't have a Verizon or AT&T air card, you have no internet access. And since so many people lost at least one automobile, you know, my husband and I are down now to one car because we haven't had a chance to go someplace, you know, to replace one of them. So everything takes so much time to get anything done right now that if people, I just, you know, I hope I'm wrong, but honestly, that date is going to come up on us and we're going to say, oh, is that election date?
Okay.
You know, it's just...
I have to stop you there, but it's a really important point. And Robin, thank you and good luck.
Thank you so much. I appreciate having the opportunity to speak with you.
And thank you, Mark. We've been speaking with Robin Bouchong. She was forced from her home on Galveston Island by Hurricane Ike, and Mark Sawyer, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of California in Los Angeles. He joined us at NPR West. And next, the silent gesture that reshaped sports 40 years ago.